Area has been getting another dose of late season rain overnight, and more wet weather is on the way. We have details on what to expect in the coming hours. And the rain did stay away just long enough to squeeze in Oakland's First Friday event for the first time in months. But while vendors are profiting, the organization that puts it on just took another hit. And outrage over a plea deal for a DUI suspect who killed a champion cyclist in San Francisco. The concern about what it could mean for future cases.
This sets a really dangerous precedent that someone can drive dangerously, recklessly, drunk, and kill someone and not really face much consequence at all.
Good morning. It's Saturday, April 13th. I'm Kelsey Thorit. The weekend is off to a soggy start around the Bay Area. Let's get an initial check of our weather with First Alert meteorologist Darren Peck.
Okay, it is a First Alert morning out there. We've got widespread showers that have been working their way across the bay this morning. We're going to keep this phase of this system going for the next hour or so before things start to really wind down. And then once we hit like the late morning, we're going to be in a little break. Look at the timestamp up there. 10 a.m., there's not really a whole lot falling from the sky at that point rain-wise, but there's more coming. In the full forecast, I'm going to show you why the afternoon and the evening, we're going to have some isolated scattered showers, maybe an occasional thunderstorm. And it is definitely going to be cooler today. Daytime highs are staying in the mid-50s. Nobody's warming up past that. I'll see you with the full forecast on this coming up in just a few minutes.
The people who run First Fridays in Oakland are pleased that the rain held off for a while last night. The monthly event is finally back after a three-month fundraising hiatus. The street fair is about community and culture. But as Andrea Nakano shows us, it means so much more for businesses struggling to survive.
It's not just the financial struggles putting a strain on this event. Organizers had to push back First Fridays to the second Friday this month because of the weather. There were fewer vendors and people than usual, but those that are here are grateful that this event is back.
Donna's Tamales was thrilled to set up shop at First Fridays in Oakland.
This is the most successful First Friday we ever done anywhere before. Yes, and we do a lot of events. This one, for the short amount of time that it is on a monthly basis, it brings in a huge revenue for us.
That revenue is critical for small businesses. 7 years ago, Naweed Rahimi took over the tamale business. He says he works from 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. preparing his tamales and selling them at events like First Fridays.
Every week it changes. Depends how I do all the cooking myself. So it depends how I feel that week, what looks good, what kind of vegetable I can find, fresh vegetables. I cook that.
Naweed isn't a trained chef. His inspirational story began on the streets of Afghanistan.
I left home, Afghanistan, when I was like 11 years old. So I had to go to different countries on my own without no parents, no family. So I had no option but to learn to cook, to survive.
The story of survival is one that many Oaklanders can relate with. Roy Lewis at this barbershop says this street fair brings in new customers. Every dollar that comes in helps these businesses keep their doors open.
We just keep trying and you can't stop, you know, we're invested in this. All these people are invested in it. So you can't turn back. We got to keep striving. We got to make it through this.
First Friday's organizers say they are continually fundraising to keep this event going. But the plan is First Fridays will be held throughout the rest of the year.
You know, a lot of people were kind of having doubts, didn't think we were coming back, but we knew we were. We were coming back stronger than ever.
The resilience of this community can be found on every block. Naweed says his secret ingredient has always been to never give up on his dreams.
And when we took out of the business, I told my wife, I told my business partner, Dawood, I said, hey, listen, we just got to stick together and we just got to work hard. Don't worry about anything else. Just keep pushing it. Keep pushing it. It's going to happen. As long as we serve our customer quality products and for us to keep the customers happy, they will come back. They will come back. And it's working now.
First Fridays suffered another financial blow earlier this week. The nonprofit that runs it says someone broke into their office and stole some equipment. Organizers say the event cost $35,000 to $45,000 to put on each month, and vendor fees cover less than half of that. They're asking for donations and volunteers to keep First Fridays going through the end of the year. Across the bay in San Francisco, Chinatown merchants were doing their own booming business at the night market. Organizers hope that the showcase of Chinatown culture and cuisine will remind people how much local shops have to offer.
Chinatown, a lot of the low income and senior, and of course, you know, we don't have enough young people who, they're the ones who spend money. So we like people come in and spend money.
The event has been such a hit, it'll now be held on the second Friday of every month. There's some outrage over a recent plea deal in the bike crash that killed a champion cyclist in San Francisco. The man who hit cyclist Ethan Boyes while driving drunk in the Presidio last year will only be charged with misdemeanors. I talked with a cycling advocate who worries the deal may set a dangerous precedent.
And that's just unacceptable. I mean, this is people's safety.
Luke Bornheimer is one of San Francisco's most outspoken advocates for bicycle safety. So when he heard about the plea deal reached between federal prosecutors and the man accused of hitting and killing champion cyclist Ethan Boyes in a drunk driving crash in the Presidio last year, Luke was shocked.
This sets a really dangerous precedent that someone can drive dangerously, recklessly, drunk, and kill someone and not really face much consequence at all.
According to court documents, the suspect in the case, 81-year-old Arnold Kidman Lowe, pled guilty to misdemeanor vehicular manslaughter and DUI, charges that each carry a maximum punishment of just 1 year in jail. Former federal prosecutor Tony Brass told me he's never seen a case like this charged as a misdemeanor.
But a DUI is almost by definition a felony. I have not seen, a manslaughter involving driving under the influence that is charged as a misdemeanor. I don't think ever. So it is a most unusual plea.
Court documents show that Boy's family asked the judge to show lenience to Mr. Lowe, writing in a letter to the court, quote, "It is our sincerest belief that Ethan would in no way want to see Mr. Lowe incarcerated, nor would he have wanted our family or Mr. Lowe and his family to endure the lengthy and painful process that a criminal trial will surely entail." Brass told me a letter like that can influence how a prosecutor chooses to charge a suspect. But that prosecutor also has to be aware of how their decision could impact future cases.
Now, are all DUI manslaughters on federal land going to be misdemeanors? How do we make the distinction? What distinguishes this case? What are those facts?
Luke told me he has the same questions. He now worries that not only are cyclists still in danger on roads like the one Boyes was killed on, which didn't have protected bike lanes, but they now have to worry about drivers not being held accountable for their actions.
We're talking about 2, 3, sometimes 4-ton vehicles that can very easily kill or seriously injure people. And I think it's really critical that people understand that there are consequences if they hurt someone with their car.
In the plea deal, Lowe admitted he was drunk when he struck Boyes and had consumed wine 2 hours before the crash.